give a round of applause to our praise team. They do such a great job each week. Is this mic on? Can you hear me? Is this mic on? Can you hear me? You can hear me? I can't hear myself.
That's all right.
They're going to sing with me. I really love the Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise your name. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. How he is giving me victory. That's why I love him. I love him. I really, really, really love the Lord. Oh, sing it one more time, Jesus. I really, really love the Lord. Oh, praise your holy name, Jesus. I really, really, really love the Lord. Oh, you don't know. I can't tell you everything he's done for me. How he is, even right now, giving me victory. That's why I love him. I love Jesus. I really, really, really love the Lord. I'm gonna sing his praise now. I'm gonna sing his praise. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. I'm gonna sing his praise. Oh, you don't know all he's done for me. How he is, even right now, giving me victory. That's why I love him. I love Jesus. I really, really, really love the Lord. I'm going to sing a verse now. Way back on Calvary. He died for you and for me. Yes, he did. He died on the cross so that we would not be lost. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You
don't know.
I can't tell you all he's done for me. How he is, even right now, giving me victory. That's why I love him. I love Jesus. I really, really, really love the Lord. Oh, you don't know everything he's done for me. How he is, even right now, giving me victory. That's why I love him. I love Jesus. I really, really, really love the Lord.
Thank you very much. This morning I want to give praise to the Lord Jesus, who has called me into ministry, and to our senior minister who has asked me to preach today, to Josh and the other staff members, the ministers on the staff, the various staff members who make this church go, to our shepherds, and for committing this new work to me. I did not anticipate doing this sometimes God says things and we submit to his will. But I'm grateful to be a part, Glenn and I, to be a part of this church. We've come to love this church and to love the people here that we've gotten to know. And we want to let you know that we will continue in our love for you, even as we engage in the work that the Lord has given us to do. We'll have more to say about that later, but we are looking for you to pray for us. Pray for me as we engage in this work and as we do this work together to make this church even more like what the Lord wants us to become. Now this morning, I'm going to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse, no, you can put it up there this time. I'm gonna read this morning. Beginning with verse number 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless the ones who are cursing you. Do good to the ones that hate you and pray for the ones that spitefully misuse you and persecute you, in order that you may become sons of your Father in heaven, because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. And if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans or tax collectors do these things? And if you simply greet the ones who are your friends only, what is that about? Do not the publicans do thusly? Therefore, become perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This passage of Scripture is the last or the sixth of six antitheses from our Lord Jesus. An antithesis is throughout, beginning with chapter 5 and verse 21, there are six in total. And this is the sixth one, the last one. It's when Jesus said, you've heard it was said, but I say unto you. And the but I say unto you is an antithesis, because what he is doing is he is going against, especially in the first five, what the law of Moses taught. He's saying Moses taught this, but I'm as the Lord and Master of the kingdom, and as the king who is going to give his life and then usher in my kingdom, I'm saying to you that for those who are in my kingdom, citizens of my kingdom, disciples who will understand kingdom character, I'm telling you something different. And so he goes through with each one, and if you look at each one of those antitheses, he deals with, he expands and gives even a greater sense of burden on those who would love him and who would be his disciples. Now, in this sixth antithetical statement, Jesus, for the first part, is also contrasting his teachings with that of Moses. When he said, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor. Well, that's exactly what Moses taught in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. He taught that you should love your neighbor there. And so that's, this antithesis is in opposition to what Moses taught. But when he gives the second half of this antithetical statement. It is not an imposition to the law. There is nowhere in the law that taught hate your enemies. Hate your enemies is not found in the Bible at all. And so, but yet Jesus says, you have heard. You've heard that they said love your neighbors and at the same time hate your enemies. Well, if he didn't get it from Moses, where did they get it from? Well, there are two possibilities, and as I said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord which one was right, or is there a third one that I missed, or some other explanation. But two possibilities are this we get. Jesus, as he often did, he could be contrasting his teachings with the rabbinical teachings of the rabbis and the interpretation of the scribes. It could be that the people of God had so interpreted love your neighbor, because the Levi in Leviticus, it was talking specifically about those who were closest to you, your neighbor. So they could have then determined that loving your neighbor meant to love your neighbor only. And then you get to hate your enemies. And so they could have devolved from the original intent of the law to then insert the notion that it was okay to hate your enemies. That could be one explanation of what Jesus says. That's what's commonly said to those Jews that he was preaching to. Well, a second possibility that I can think of could be that he is contradicting the Greco-Roman world maxim, because in that world, everyone in that world thought it was appropriate to love your neighbor and hate your enemies. So it could have been from there. Could have been from any other source too. But when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jesus about these. I have a number of questions to ask Jesus and Paul especially when I get to heaven and talk to them about these scriptures they gave us. But regardless of where it came from, the fact is it was being taught that it was okay to hate your enemies. That was any faithful Jew could be faithful to God, hating his enemies with hatred in his heart. And Jesus says, but I want you to know I'm saying something different than that. Now, there are three major points that are made in this passage. I'm going to emphasize one, but I'm going to give you all three of them. Three major points made in this passage. The first major point of the passage is what Jesus says in verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. That's the first major point. And then he gives minor supporting points to substantiate and support that notion. Love your enemies is the first major point. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to deal with that because that's going to be the bulk of my sermon, okay? Now, the second major point, excuse me, amen? Do y'all need practice again? Now, y'all don't want this lesson to be eternal, right? Excuse me, do y'all want this lesson to be eternal? Then y'all better be saying something. Now, I done told you before. You know, that's what the old lady said. I done told you. That the church where I preached at for 50 plus years almost, it's participatory. Everybody, when the preacher gets up, they stop, they talk. When we get up, we don't want you to stop talking, amen? If I say something that you know is true, can you just say amen? Amen. And if you can't say amen, can you nod your head? Just let a brother know you're getting the point, because with an old preacher, we think if you don't say nothing, you didn't get it. And that means I got to keep explaining it over and over, and the lesson just gets longer and longer and longer. So y'all help a brother out. So the point is that the first major point, love your enemies. That's the first major point, okay? Now, the second major point is in verse 45, that in so doing, you may become sons of your Father in heaven. All right, thank you very much. And so the idea is, and then he goes on to expand what God looks like, how he deports himself in relationship to good people and even ungodly people. He says, because what he does, when he sends rain on the crops of humanity, he doesn't just send rain upon his people. He sends rain upon the good, the evil ones, as well as the good ones. You know, God is just amazing. He's saying he blesses everybody. The people who say they hate God, God sends rain for their crops just as well as the ones who love God. And then he also causes the sun to rise so that photosynthesis can take place in plant life, agricultural society. He causes the sun to rise on the good as well as the evil. On the just as well as the unjust. God does that. So that's the second major point. I'm not going to expand upon that beyond that. Now the third point, major point of this passage, is if you just love the ones that love you, what reward is that? You hate the publicans. You think they're the worst of worst. Even they do that. And then he goes on to say, and if you just greet those who are friends of yours. Well, what's the big deal with that? You know those publicans, those tax collectors that you hate? Even they do that. And so he ends with the end of this major point. Therefore, I want you to become perfect. That word perfect means to complete the end to which you were created for. When you reach the end that a thing was created for, it's called perfect. I want you to become perfect, just like your Father in heaven is perfect. So those are the three major points. Now let me deal with this for you. This sixth antithetical statement is really the culmination and the completion. It's the how-to of the first antithetical statement. In that first antithetical statement, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, the law taught that, you shall not murder. But then he says, but I want to go beyond that. I want to tell you what the source of murder is. It's anger in your heart. And when you have anger in your heart, that's what leads to murder. So he tells those disciples and us, as a result of us listening to his word, I want you to get rid of the anger that's in your heart. But he doesn't tell us how. This last antithetical statement tells us how. It gives us a way to get rid of the animus and the hatred and the hostility that is in our heart when people mistreat us. And especially when they mistreat us and they dog us out, we automatically begin to hate. But he's telling us, we hate because we have anger. And when we become angry, we then begin to hate. And if we hate enough, then we'll rise up and we'll start killing people. We are living at this time in one of the angriest periods of our world and especially our country. Every time we look around, another mass murder, killing our kids, killing our older people, killing innocent people. People are getting guns and they're killing folk. Why does that come from? comes from unresolved anger that is moved to hatred. And then with that grievance, each one of these mass murders has a grievance. And then they go take militaristic weapons and destroy innocent lives. He's going to show us how to deal with that. But let me emphasize this. Special report from 24/7 Wall Street by Samuel Stubbins. Little Rock, Arkansas, reported one of the highest murder rates in the United States. The U.S. murder rate is at its highest in 25 years, 2.5 decades, up nearly 30% from the previous year, the largest annual increase on record. Firearm sales soared, resulting in the proliferations of tens of millions of new guns that are out on the streets. The CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, lists that homicide is one of the contributing factors as to why the historic lifespan of human beings in America have declined by 1.5 years. We're now expected to live 1.5 years less in America than we did 25 years ago, trailing only COVID, accidental deaths, drug overdoses in significance. Little Rock, Arkansas is among the U.S. cities with the highest homicide rate. In 2020, 24.8% for every 100,000 people were murdered in Arkansas, Little Rock. This is well above the national average of homicides, which is at a rate of 6.5 murders. 24.8 rate versus 6.5, close to 4%, four times rather, greater rate of murders in Little Rock than in the entire nation. The first 6 months of this year, from January the 1st to June the 6th, 2022, as compared to the same time period in 2021, 2022 so far, as of January the 6th, 37 murders. Last year, during that same time period, 27 murders, 37% higher this year already than last year, and 65% greater than the last 5 years. Maybe you shouldn't be cutting people off in traffic. They're liable to shoot you. How do we deal with this? How do we stem the tide of all the anger and the angst and the grievance in our nation? Jesus gives us the solution in this passage in 4 points. And I'm going to give them to you, and the lesson is yours. Love your enemies. Jesus is talking about people who have done things against you. And if you look at this passage, he's not talking about somebody just stepped on your foot. He's talking about someone who is perpetrating devastation against you. He says the first way of doing that is that you got to come to grips with the reality that you got to have a mind shift. You've got to decide that when that person does grievance to you, rather than getting angry and then being angry and be developing hatred in your heart, I want you to give a mind shift. Make your mind up. I'm going to love that person in spite of how they treated me. This word agapeo is a word that means in spite of. It means to do what's in the best interest of another person in spite of. It is contrasted against another word that's used predominantly in the Greek, which is phileo, and that word is because of. I love you because you're so gracious to me. I hold you in high charity and regard. No. I want you to make your mind up to love them in spite of how they treated you. That's what sons of God look like. Hello? Sons of God don't look like people who hold anger and animus and hatred in their hearts. Because even as they were murdering him on the cross, he gave us the example. Dying the death of 1,000 deaths, he prayed before he died, Father, forgive them. They were laughing. They were praising God that he was being killed. Father, forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. If you want to understand agapeo versus phileo, look at what Jesus said to Peter. After he arose from the dead, you know, Peter had betrayed the Lord. The Lord reinstates him, comes to him in John chapter 21 and verse 15. And he asked him a question. I want you to see the thrust of how this goes. He said, Peter, verse 15, do you agapeo me more than these? Here's what Peter responded. Yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. Peter, do you love me in spite of? Will you do for me in spite of? Yes, Lord, I cherish you with high regard because of the way you treated me. Couldn't get up to in spite of. So he asked him the second time, Peter, I want to know if you agapeo me. And he says, Lord, you know I phileo you. I have warm regard for you. You treated me so graciously. That wasn't the question. The question was not, do you love me because I do good things for you? The question is, do you love me in spite of everything? Peter couldn't get there. So God, the Son of God, asked the third time. He came down to where Peter was. Peter, do you phileo me? Peter was grieved in his heart because he had asked him three times, unaware that he had never answered the Lord's question the first two times. So he says, do you phileo me? He said, yes, Lord, you know all things. I phileo you. He's not asking us to phileo people. He's asking us and commanding us to agapeo them. Regardless of how they treat you, I want you to love them in spite of themselves. You are not justified in hating people because they mistreated you wrong. I'll tell you more about my own story in just a moment. Point number two, or the sub-point number two on that. And so he says, this is what I after you made a mind shift change, now I want you to put into action what love does. So here's what I want you to do. Now, first of all, I want you to verbalize. I want you to verbalize with your mouth. I want you to, no, that's right, no, bless you, bless them, that's verbalized, that are cursing you. Hello? Y'all there? I want you to speak well wishes, well doing. When you go to God in prayer, I don't want you to bless them out. I want you to bless them. I want you to ask God to give them wellness for their life, even while they're cursing you. I want you to begin to speak what you've done in terms of your mind shift. Y'all still on the bus? I don't have far to go. Stay with me. And then thirdly, I want you to move from mind shift to verbalization into action. Now, I want you to do good to them that hate you. I was talking to a wife once, came to me in counseling, and I gave her this passage. I said, I want you to figure out what you can do good for your husband. She said, I know what I can do good for him. I can give him his last supper. I said, that's not what the Lord is saying. He don't want you to godfather him. Where he tastes, it tastes so good before he die. I want you to do good to those that hate you. This stuff ain't easy, y'all. But it's what he's called us to do. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. And then finally, I was doing okay with the other ones. Then the Lord dropped this one on me. I want you to get on your knees and pray for those who spitefully use you, they abuse you, and they're dogging you out like a wild beast. I want you to pray for them. You cannot hate someone that you're praying for. I tried it. I'm going to close. Years ago, when I first started preaching, I was convicted of all the human beings that have hurt me in my life. No one has hurt me more than my own father did. My father, I know he had a good soul, but he was so injured. He was so broken. How do I stop this from doing that? Is it my faith? Is it my faith? All right, is that better? Thank you. That was getting on my nerves. He was so broken by life. He went to World War II, and he was in the Navy. On the ship when he came up out of the, is that the gully in the bottom? What, galley? Thank you. My dad walked up after making sure that everyone was served. A bomb came through and killed everybody on the bottom. Just one such experience. He suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. And then, because he was a black man growing up in America, a racist America, that's just factual, folks. He was a boy no matter how old he got to be. He suffered at the hands, abuse, at the hands of people, racist people. That's not all people. I'm talking about racist people. You don't have to be offended if you ain't one of them. If you are, maybe you ought to repent instead of being offended. He suffered from post-traumatic slavery syndrome. Because he was traumatized all his life, I was with him right before he died. He said to me on his deathbed, all of my life, I have been afraid. So he lived in fear. I don't know how to do this otherwise. He lived in fear, so let's turn this thing off. Give me a mic, let me finish this thing.
Can you hear me? There you go. Because he suffered so much trauma, he couldn't get rid of it. He had no tools. He beat my mama, and he beat us. And I hated him. I hated him because of the way he traumatized and victimized me, my siblings, and my mama. We got old enough, we stopped that. You have four sons who get grown. We can stop you from hitting our mama. So my crazy big brother went over there and told him one day, don't hit my mama no more. He knew he was crazy, so he left that alone. I hated my dad. I left home at 16 and went to the streets of Detroit. You all have heard, some of you have heard the story. Got involved with the gang. I lost all sense of human feelings. I became an animal. I hated him. But when I came to Jesus, and 2 years after that, I would have been okay if I hadn't read this passage. It convicted me. I had to forgive my dad. I had to let the hatred and the animus go in my heart. It was this passage that enabled me to do it. If you've been victimized and abused, this passage, as you implement it in your life, will enable you to overcome the feelings of hatred and animus and victimization. I prayed for 9 months. I prayed every time I thought about it. I fasted and prayed. I knew I had to go talk to my dad. And I knew he was not going to receive me. I knew how he was. And I went to that house at 573 Pearsall. A little while before Glenn and I got married, that was in 73. And I talked to my dad. I just needed to let him know how he wounded me, how the brutalization impacted me in my life. And I needed for him to know that. I believed that if I could just tell him, I just knew that God would give me the ability to let it go. And just as I predicted, he did not receive me. He said to me, none of my children have ever disrespected me the way you have. I will break you in two. For a moment, I lost it. the best prayer I could get out was, Lord, help this fool. That's what I prayed. And my dad saw the fire in my eyes, and it alarmed him. And he took a step back. And when he took that step back, by God's grace, I was able to catch myself. And I said to my dad, Daddy, I want you to know that I forgive you for everything you've ever done to me. I forgive you for the abuse that you heaped on me, on my mama, and on my siblings. And that day, right at the gate, 573 Pearsall in Pontiac, Michigan, I dropped and left all of that hatred, all of that animus, all of that hostility, and the hurt, and I forgave my dad. And then I discovered something. Y'all got time? I'm almost through. I discovered something, that when I let my dad go, it was like a 2,000-pound weight that was lifted from my shoulders. I was so light. And that's when I discovered the truth. Whatever you don't let go of, it does not let go of you. Whatever you're holding on to, it holds on to you. And I discovered that since I can forgive my dad, no one has ever mistreated me that way. My wife has told me several times, you just forgive so easily. When I could forgive my dad, I could forgive anybody. If you want to be free from the burden and the shackles that hatred imposes upon you, implement the teachings of Jesus. Let it go. You will become sons of your Father who is in heaven. He blesses even those that hate him. That's all I got.